Welcome to Are You Real? The Psyche of Success, helping you break through the mental roadblocks that keep you from achieving your dreams. Through direct lessons, as well as our insightful dialogue with industry thought leaders and influencers, we can unlock your full potential to the authentic you. Now, please welcome your host, Jody Holland.
Hey, Roar Nation, it's Jody Holland with Are You Real? The Psyche of Success. I'm going to be talking about how you can find the authentic you in success. You can still catch Are You Real with John Fuller every Wednesday on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. I know a lot of the listeners out there have children the same way that I do, and we sometimes wonder when we look at our kids, how in the world did they end up just like they are? So I'm going to talk a little bit about the three stages of psychological development and how we become us. Now consider this before I begin into that. If you have brothers or sisters, are they just like you? And think about growing up with these other humans in the same house with the same parents and the same rules, and we still end up becoming different than the people that we grew up around. What's fascinating about this is that we go through these three psychological stages, according to Dr. Morris Massey, but during these stages, it's not just the experience that matters, it's more important how we label the experience. The first stage of psychological development is known as imprinting. During this stage, from 0 to 6 years old, you simply absorb everything around you. What your parents demonstrate, how you are treated, whether you're taught right from wrong, good from evil, good versus bad on things, you learn the duality of existence. At about 4 to 4.5 years old, you begin to shift from what's known as like a hypnotic state or shorter cycles within the brainwaves to a much higher frequency within the brainwave. So you start off with these slower cycles and just soak everything up. And then at 4.5, you start going, hey, I think I can think for myself just a little bit. This is not to say that a 4-year-old has full capacity for conscious processing and making good logical decisions. It is, however, to say that each of us goes through these stages and learns to become who we are. During this first stage, it's really important that a child is exposed to the right kind of thinking. And when we are told no and nothing but no, we start learning one side of things. So it's important that you use affirmations as well as reprimand with your children so that you move them in the right direction. One of the reasons that I think that some parents will spank and some won't is when they look at the way that they're developing their child, their fear is they don't want to teach a child that hitting is okay, and so they don't spank. And yet on the other side, a child does not have the capacity to consciously process and make a logical decision until their brain shifts between 4 and 4.5 years old. So prior to that, sometimes the physical shock is what moves the child into making the right direction or making the good decision. Now, I'm not telling you whether to spank or not to spank your children. I'm just telling you from a psychology standpoint, there's some variations as to the reason why or why not on the spanking side of things. The second stage is really, really important. A child is 80% more likely to become a Christian if they are exposed to Christianity on a regular basis by the age of 11. So from 7 through 13 years old, this is known as the modeling stage. This is where our values and our beliefs come from. If we don't take the time to learn good values and good beliefs, then what we find is by the time we get out of 8th grade and we're going into high school, we're just drifting along, waiting for the circumstances of life or the people that we find influential in our lives to tell us what direction to go. So 7 to 13, we look up to people. The most common heroes right now are teachers and coaches. The reason for that is that's where we spend the majority of our time through elementary school and junior high. We're around these people who are a strong influence on us, and we don't want to let them down. Oftentimes, we look up to them, and we look for guidance as to what is good and what is bad, and what characteristics or character values I'm supposed to have that I'm supposed to demonstrate for the world around me. this second stage of psychological development has a great impact on the way a person works as well. If you give your child chores and things that they are responsible for doing that they can't just shrug off when they don't feel like it, what you find is the kids who have chores, who have responsibilities, and who have some kind of work that they have to do before the age of 12, those are the kids that have the least likelihood of returning home and living with mom and dad after they finish their education. They're also the kids who have the highest work ethic, are best at customer service, and are the most driven towards goals and accomplishments. So, a lot of times what we do is we look at our children, we go, well, I worked so hard. I don't want them to have to put in the same kind of effort that I did. By the same token, if you think about what you went through in your life and the amount of effort that you put in, most successful people will attribute their success specifically to the fact that they had to work from a very early age. So not having our children work isn't actually giving them an advantage, it's actually giving them a disadvantage. Long term, as parents, we have to think about where we want our kids to be. Not what's going on just right now, but 15, 20, 40 years down the road, what do we want for their life? With my own children, my desire is they are hardworking, they're dedicated and loyal, good at customer service, good at getting along with other people, and will get a job and not need to come back home after they grow up and move out of the house. I believe my role is to raise adults, not to raise older kids, but to raise adults. So when you think about what's going on in our society right now, I hear a lot of people complaining about the millennial generation and how they have no work ethic and they expect everything to be handed to them. I have to think, well, who raised them? What do we allow them to be exposed to? We as parents can set the rules for the house. I know we may not be popular, but I promise you this. Most people from Gen X and Baby Boomer and traditionalist generations were not really quote-unquote friends with their parents. They were raised by their parents in order to develop work ethic and reliability and all of those other things, so they would grow up and be a productive human. We have to shift fundamentally how we raise our children and how we condition them, particularly in this second stage of psychological development, so that they will be hard workers later in life. The third stage of psychological development is known as socialization. During this stage, we learn critical thinking, problem solving, decision making, and overall that creates our sense of personal responsibility or accountability. Now, there is a difference between males and females. The prefrontal cortex of the brain, where logic and language are housed, grows slower in the male brain than it does in the female brain. So this stage varies from female to male. Females, it is from 14 to 22 years old, and males, it is from 14 to 26 years old. Hence the insurance discounts at 21 for females and 25 for males. During this stage, if we hold our kids accountable for the things that they do, the choices that they make, then when they get past living with us and they're out into the world, they will have an expectation of being held accountable. They will therefore hold themselves accountable for all of the things that they do. Now, it's not to say that our kids won't still make some bad choices. After all, until 22 for women and 26 for men, we don't actually have our full physical brain. We're still developing that last component. So during this stage, who they hang out with is really, really important. I remember my mother asking questions like, well, if all of your friends jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff too? And at the time, I do remember thinking, Mom, it was probably my idea if we did something bad. If I did anything wrong, though, I was held absolutely accountable and was not rescued by my parents. What's fascinating about where we are in society today is the more that we protect our children, the less likely they are to be successful. So we as parents, if we truly desire that right psyche of success for our kids, then we have to condition them to be responsible for themselves, to work hard, and to understand right from wrong. That's why I think this third stage is very, very important from the aspect of what will you be like related to the work that you do. We do have a lot of people in our society that they expect that things will be given to them. That expectation was conditioned into them. That is not something that they were born with. It's something that they learned. During this third stage, if you will make sure that your kids are responsible for their choices, for example, by the time they hit 14, you need to make sure they wake themselves up in the morning. Not you going in and going, sweetheart, it's time to wake up. Coming back 5 minutes later and go, seriously, honey, you got to get out of bed. And finally, 30 minutes later, coming in and going, will you just get out of bed? And getting all upset with them. Tell them, you are responsible for waking yourself up. You need to make sure you have an alarm, either on your phone or on an alarm clock. My preference is the alarm clock over the phone. I also recommend that you set the alarm clock away from their bed so they can't reach over and hit the snooze. Put it on the other side of the room and make sure it's loud. Other things that I recommend is you can ask them when they get home, what's your homework situation? When they describe it, then ask them the question, what is the schedule that you plan to implement to get that done on time? Get them to describe what they're going to do. Don't always tell them what to do. Get them to describe it. If they make a mistake, there's three critical questions that we have to ask. Question number one, what happened? We want to know step by step what happened, what were the choices that they made that led them to the place that they are at. Question number two, at what point could you have done something differently? We want them to go back through that process and say, oh, right here, Dad, step three, I could have done this. And then question number three, what will you do next time? By asking those three questions, we are transferring what's called the locus of control from external, somebody else made this happen or the circumstances controlled them, to internal, I made a choice. If we can develop the I made a choice, I choose my attitude, my emotions, my actions, my homework habits, I choose all of those things. If we can develop that kind of thinking, then later in life, they won't have any trouble making sure that they get things done on their own. These three stages are critically important. Now, one last thing I'd like to add into this is there isn't a time in their lives or yours where it won't matter who they hang out with. The five people that are closest to you, if you average their attitudes and their values and their characteristics together, that's you. So you also need to be careful who you hang out with. You will end up becoming just like them, just like your mother said. So take these three stages into consideration and think about the way that you are raising your children, as well as think about the way that you're raising up your employees if you're the business manager, leader, or owner. It is critical that we continue to develop the right characteristics, the right values, and the right behavioral habits in the people that we lead. If we are intentional about doing this, what we find is our people respond to that. You can change any aspect of who you are if you truly desire to. If you change your belief, if you go back to my podcast on the transformation principle, changing that belief creates a new thought, creates a new action, creates a new result. We just have to understand how we were conditioned to be who we are. Don't forget to follow Are You Real on social media. Twitter is at Are You Real Pod, Facebook at Are You Real, Instagram at Are You Real Pod, or just go to areyoureal.org to find us there. I'm Jody Holland with the Psyche of Success. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Are You Real? The Psyche of Success, and we know you found value in the show, so it's time to find even more value on our website. Be sure to visit areyoureal.org and click on podcast for insights, free training videos, show notes, and more. Again, that's areyoureal.org and click on podcast.